May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text for our reflection on this fourth Sunday in Trinity are the words of the 27th Psalm, which we heard earlier. We hear again the verses from our intro that we just spoke together and contemplate these as we begin today. We hear these words of the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. As we contemplate these words spoken prophetically by King David so long ago, we do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, indeed, on any given Sunday, we can meditate not only on the Old Testament, the Epistle, or the Gospel, but also the Psalm is in play. It is fair game, as our introit is this morning. This is fitting. We should do this once in a while. It's kind of a rarity to preach a message on the psalm, but we should. It's fitting. We love our psalms. The psalms bring us comfort. They provoke repentance. They express both joy and woe, even despair. They run the whole gamut of human experience and existence from cradle to grave. Psalms are powerful. Near and dear to us in time of our need, or when we're afraid, especially, are what we might call our more militant psalms, such as Psalm 46, which is going to give us the backbone of our final hymn today, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Or how about Psalm 91? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a psalm that is beloved by law enforcement, firefighters, the military, anybody whose job must routinely take them into the way of harm and danger and even the threat of loss of life. We feel protected by that psalm and psalms like it. When I was a battalion chaplain in Afghanistan in 2012 and 2013, I leaned on the psalms daily for our unit. Our unit ran convoys as our mission throughout a four-province area in regional command south of that country during that time. And if you look it up historically, it was a time of unprecedented violence of enemy Taliban activity. It was rough. My congregation, my soldiers were out in it daily. The heart and soul of my ministry was convoy ministry. Truck drivers were my congregation, 88 mics. Those were my people, as well as the mechanics, the wrench turners that kept the vehicles moving. As a result of that, I and my assistant were present at the departure of every convoy that went out under our command during that deployment. So much so that I was given a place at every pre-mission brief. They called it the TACO brief, the Tactical Convoy Operations Brief. After the command had said their part, after logistics had said their part, after intelligence had shown all the significant acts and the threats in the environment, talked about weather and everything else, at the very end, they'd always turn to me and go, "Chap." And I had a last word. I had a slide. It just said, "Chaplain." And I'd get the last word before the soldiers would go saddle up and go gear up for their mission out in the yard where they would stage their gear from. And at that time, I was quick and rapid to deployment. I'd say a quick prayer, and I'd always include what I started to customarily do, and I made it a mission for myself, was take at least a fragment, one or two verses from every psalm, all 150 of them on each convoy, and speak from those psalms. That's what I would do every single time. I got my battle Bible with me today. This was it, and it just tore up. It is contained all the psalms that I did as parts of my prayers, and many prayers are scribbled in here for changes of command, for all kinds of ceremonies that we had in here as well. I had to go and find it and dig it out of my gear just so I could show you this morning. This Bible also doubled as my journal of sorts on many occasions. I got many dates and many times listed in this battle Bible. Since we were in a New Jersey unit, the headquarters were, our convoys all had names, designations that dealt with where we were going. We couldn't say that, obviously, what we were doing. So we had little code names, little call signs for our convoys. And since we were from New Jersey, all of our convoys had a name from a Revolutionary War battle that had occurred in our backyard, so to speak, in New Jersey, some in New York and Pennsylvania as well. So, and all of them would correspond with a destination we were going to that we didn't want the bad guys to know we were going to. So they'd have names that didn't make any sense if somebody was listening in. So our names of our convoys were Trenton 17 for the Battle of Trenton and also where we were headquartered out of. White Plains 2, Yorktown 7, Monmouth 32, just as a few examples. Today, dear friends, is a kind of a milestone day. It's a significant day. Today is June 23rd, and it's of great interest and significance to me and my family because 12 years ago on this day, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing because I have a record of it right here, what prayers I was praying, what verses I was bringing to our soldiers. The 23rd was a unique day. My wife Jennifer and I had just celebrated our 10th anniversary via FaceTime. We did have an internet connection, long distance, managing the time difference of 12 hours, which wasn't a small task. But we'd just done that on the 22nd, the day before. And so the 23rd was a reflective day already, a significant date. And my notes for that day are pretty significant. On that day, on the 23rd of June, a couple convoys went out, and in the evening was Princeton 23. And the verse I shared was Psalm 31. I'd made it a goal to do every psalm in succession because I knew by the time I got to 150, I'd be about halfway through the deployment, and I'd have about halfway to go before I could come home to my family. So it's a little really like a roadmap of that year for me. But I shared these verses from Psalm 31, a psalm of strength, like Psalm 27, like Psalm 91. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and you guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me. And I wrote in my Bible, it's a significant psalm because it almost sounded like a counter-IED psalm. Deliver these soldiers from the snares and from the ambushes that could await them. It was a very powerful psalm to me, and I noted that in this Bible. Which was of great interest to me. I remember being struck by that psalm for that reason, enough to write in my notes. It seemed to speak directly to us and the threats that were possible in our environment. But on this night, on the night of the 23rd, Princeton 23 was a overnight convoy. It was leaving in the evening and returning in the morning. Significant name. We lived just a few miles outside of the Princeton battlefield back home as well, so it really resonated with me. But that night, I had shared my psalm, and I had prepared Princeton 23 to head off for their mission. My assistant and I did our usual routine. We ate chow out in the yard in 120 degrees with the soldiers and with the local Afghan national drivers. They were part of our convoy too. And as I always did, I also offered to pray a special blessing over each of our vehicles, each of our green trucks, and there were about a dozen in this convoy and their crews. I made it clear always to the soldiers that this was optional. You could opt out if you didn't want a special blessing for your crew and your truck before you went out. I only had one soldier that ever pushed back on that in my whole time there. I did thousands of blessings for vehicles for my notes. This night with Princeton 23, nobody objected. Soldiers wanted prayers, and they wanted more, everything they could get their hands on to prepare for the mission. Well, they went out, and it was a turnaround mission. And in the early morning of the 24th of June 2012, 1 mile from returning safely back from that mission, Princeton 23 was struck with tragedy. A local national fuel truck drove into one of our heavy equipment trucks, one of our HETs. That's what they were driving, big, massive, indestructible truck, you would think. The ensuing explosion and extreme fire from the burning fuel killed two of our soldiers as they returned. I prayed over that convoy, Princeton 23. I blessed every vehicle in that, including the vehicle of the two soldiers. They wanted that blessing. They wanted prayers before they left. I proclaimed Psalm 31 with confidence, and they still died. Psalm 31 didn't save their earthly lives, brothers and sisters in Christ. 12 years later, to the day, this event still lingers in my body, in my mind, and especially my soul. And over the years, I've asked those tough questions that many of us ask. It's not unique to me. Does prayer even work? Does God hear? If he knows what's going to happen, why pray to him? Do the Psalms of protection really actually protect? If not, why do we invoke them and pray them? Why pray at all? Why invoke the Psalms at all? In answering those hard existential questions, I want to put a disclosure on that up front. Dear friends, I want to tell you right up front, call upon God's name in all circumstances. Pray, praise, give thanks unceasingly to the Lord. Pray the Psalms of protection when you face adversity or even danger. If there's a tornado bearing down on you, pray Psalm 27. Invoke it, absolutely. Pray the 23rd Psalm when you're shaken, when you need comfort from your good shepherd. Utilize Psalm 51, as we do almost every Sunday, to confess your sins and in full confidence that you will be absolved, receive that absolution via that psalm. Use them. They can be trusted. I would never dare to insinuate that God's word doesn't deliver what it says. We do need to acknowledge and shape some expectations of what that delivery of what it says is. We need to talk about what the Psalms are not, or otherwise we may be more than just disappointed. We may have our faith shaken based on what we think we know about the Psalms a lot of the time. The Psalms can be misused and abused. Sometimes it's not in a malicious way or in an intentional way. It's just how it is. Dear friends, if we invoke the Psalms, or also pray for that matter, in a superstitious way, like we're casting a spell, we will be sorely mistaken and disappointed when we don't become invincible, or if somebody that we prayed over or invoked a psalm over doesn't become invincible and immortal. The Psalms aren't to be prayed like that. They're not like Harry Potter casting a spell. A psalm being prayed over you before a tense moment or over another person isn't like a pagan shaman using a incantation to make you bulletproof, like a Sioux warrior prayer shirt that they would use on the high plains. It doesn't work that way. Psalms aren't a video game power-up that gives us special abilities. The Psalms don't unlock perks for us, dear friends. They're not garlic to ward off vampires. They're not silver bullets to slay werewolves. None of that will work. That's a misuse or an abuse of the Psalms if we get our head around it that way. We need to know what the Psalms do, what they are for. They might not save our health, our bodies, from earthly suffering, even death, like my soldiers who perished. But the Psalms do point us, and they do deliver what they say they deliver to us, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. They are the embodiment of the Word, and Jesus is that Word who was with God before the foundations of the world. As Luther has said, Christ on every page of the Bible, even the Old Testament, especially, and even the Psalms. In using this interpretive key by Luther, we are given help in seeing what the Psalms are really all about. We might be surprised by what we find. We will not be disappointed. Let's return to our text this morning, which is Psalm 27, first few verses. And let's hear what Luther has to say about that psalm. Think about what we think it's about and what he's saying it is. Luther says the 27th psalm is a psalm of thanks. However, it also prays and gives us comfort against the false teachers, the false witnesses, blaspheming without any hesitation. For only entirely foolhardy saints would give a witness bold and impudent before God, from whom they have no command. Yet we see it daily. The more foolish and learned the people are, the more bold and audacious they are to preach and to teach the whole world. No one knows anything. They alone know all. They prepare themselves to make war and revolt against the true saints and God-fearers. This psalm belongs to the second and first commandments and the first and second petitions of the commandments in the Lord's Prayer. So we see more of a precision to our psalms. Not that they're ineffective and we can't trust them, but we call them in a strong medicine for the ailment that they're here for. They're not a magic wand to wave and to be made invincible in this world. But what they do deliver is what Luther talks about, the firm and sure hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The adversaries talked about in Psalm 27 or anybody or any teaching that would take that from us and deprive us of that joy and of that confidence, dear friends in Christ. So we actually see Psalm 27 in a different light. We see that what initially reads like an incantation that will give us physical victory over our enemies, even whole armies, actually gives us something better. Psalm 27 is really a confident declaration that although we can be hurt, we can get sick, we can be overcome by grief and other ailments, we can fall into despair in this life, nothing can pluck us from the hand of our merciful Lord. And so we see how Psalm 27 links with the other scriptures before us today. If we read on from our epistle lesson in Romans 8 today, we find a great connection. A little bit later, outside of the bounds of our text today, our epistle text, but if you continue to read that through the rest of the chapter 8, you encounter these words. Think how nicely these mesh and bring to us the meaning of Psalm 27 and what it's talking about. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Now take a pause. Notice how St. Paul doesn't say that these things aren't going to be able to physically hurt us anymore. He's very real about it. He doesn't sugarcoat us. We're still in the world, dear friends in Christ. We're still vulnerable. We're still hurtable and killable. He goes on, though, "For your sake," says it how it is, "we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." He's real, and he's raw here before he takes it home. Paul doesn't stop there. He says, "No, in all these things we are made more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am sure of this, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Good news delivered steadily through Psalm 27. This is what Psalm 27 is saying when David leads it off with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be fear?" We know we fear and love and trust God above all things. Anything we fear, love, and trust above him is an idol. But we know we fear, love, and trust him. That's who we love and trust and fear. Through the light of the world, that should be a Jesus connection for us. That's exactly what it's talking about. It's not an accident that Psalm 27 is a cornerstone text for the rite of Christian burial. You find it in the Pastoral Care Companion as a comfort for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. I've frequently read it at committals, at funerals, in the hospital, elsewhere. It's always an option. Dear friends, this is the psalm that I chose for the dignified transfer, for the ramp ceremony for my two soldiers that I spoke about earlier that perished. And I read this psalm in procession at the head of their caskets as we bore them onto the aircraft that would ultimately take them home to lay them to their earthly rest back in the United States. So while Psalm 27 couldn't be invoked by them to save their earthly bodies from harm, I have to believe that those soldiers were prepared for death. They wanted my prayers. They wanted that blessing on their vehicles before they departed. I have to trust that they had faith in Jesus and that that faith was present and strong in their final moments. The same is true for all of us, brothers and sisters. Nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God, as St. Paul says. Christ Jesus, He specifically emphasizes not even life or death, if you caught that. Nothing can separate us. This is the good news. Good news in the Old Testament. Good news in Psalms. It's not just a New Testament thing. Don't separate the Bible that way. Full confidence. Dear friends, we're given full confidence, and we can proclaim another great text from the Old Testament, another great piece of gospel in the Old Testament, this time from Job. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another, how my heart yearns within me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.